Notice how he said, and has given him to be the head of all things to the church. So if you have not had a vision, you have not had a revelation of your destiny, let him reveal it to you. Let him reveal it to you. It probably will not be something that you would have thought. There may be some thoughts that maybe you didn't realize that God's been speaking to you. But let him reveal it to you by his Holy Spirit. And he knows exactly the way to reveal everything that he has for you. Everything. You know, when I speak of destiny, did you know living in health is your destiny? It's not just preaching the gospel, because you'll preach the gospel even better if you live in health. You know, when I tell people, when I recovered from the fractured finger, it's not just for me, it's for the people I speak to. They need to see, yes, God is who he says he is. Praise God. One thing that I don't think people think about, maybe because they don't want to think about it, is there is an enemy. It is the most powerful enemy to your destiny. And that enemy is death. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. While I look it up. The Bible says that the last enemy that God will deal with is death. Verse 26. Says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But let's bump up to verse 19 and put this all in context. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh this end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Death is the strongest enemy a person will ever have to deal with. And people live in different death modes. You should think about this. They live in different death modes. Maybe they want some life, but not the whole abundant life. And so there's death working in them. It's the strongest force a man faces in life. But the Word of God is nothing but choose life. Choose life. I was watching a movie today. I wish I could all find the title of it, but it was a gladiator movie. Didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched what I needed to watch. It wasn't one that I'd seen before. It was a very, very old one. And these gladiators were fighting. But one of the gladiators was talking to the other gladiator. And he said, you know that eventually it always ends in death. But I never think that way. I only think life. And this gladiator, I don't even know if it's a true story, but it was a great story from what I was watching. He went out into the arena with the other gladiators, and they had groups of gladiators, two by two, and little by little, one gladiator would die. The emperor would put a thumbs up or a thumbs down, depending on with the way they pinned them, whether the gladiator was to die. But in the crowds, somebody was secretly hiding a knife and moving it over close to the emperor. And when it came to two people left, this one man that chooses life, and he had been telling his fellow gladiator about choosing life, and now it's just he and this fellow gladiator that are left. And now, according to their rules, they're going to have to fight each other. But as this person is sliding through the crowd, suddenly they bring out their sword to kill the emperor, and this gladiator that chooses life kills him with his sword. And the emperor said, because you have saved my life, you are free. And he took him into his quarters, and he talked to him, and he wanted him to be a servant for him. He would be his personal bodyguard. And the gladiator said, no, because when I was in the arena, I was free to choose what I wanted to do, and I will have lost my choice. And he said, I have never had a gladiator or anyone with such courage say that to me. I let you be free, and there was something going on in a certain area of the world at that time. He asked him, would he oversee getting rid of that evil? And he said, only if you will release my friend. And together we will do that. It's good to watch movies like this, my friends, because you have to have this kind of courage for the day that we live in. You have to have the God kind of courage. Though these men were dealing with death, they chose life in the midst. You know, sometimes there are two choices going on at the same time. There may be something going on physically with you that's taking from your life, But you have to choose life. And only, where'd my soldier go?
I put him on the table.
Okay. Only the true fitted soldier in Christ can do this. Choose life. So the last scripture I want to turn to, and we're going to go into a little bit of detail, is Ephesians chapter 6. This is your training ground to keep yourself fitted as a good soldier. I always like it when I get fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit, because every revelation that you get from the Lord is built on the last revelation. And it's building you. Starting with verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And he talks about how he's an ambassador in bonds. The whole armor. First of all, the Bible says that we all have an adversary. And this adversary, the actual meaning of this word means an opponent in a lawsuit. Your adversary knows the Word of God. And this is why Paul was saying, you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jesus knew this too, because he had to face his adversary after he was fully filled with the Holy Spirit and then went on a fast. He was empowered before he went on that fast. He could not have handled the temptations had he not been empowered beforehand. And only a skilled believer in Christ can wield what we're going to talk about. And that's why when you look at the Gladiator movies, or I was watching a little bit of Zorro, a little bit of Robin Hood the last few days.
It's good.
Yeah, they're really good. They get you stirred up. It just shows you that God can use everyday people. Though it's a movie, I understand that. But he does use everyday people. And he develops them. And none of us have arrived. We're still in the development stage, but he can use us all along the way as we are being developed. So your enemy is skilled in the Word of God. You need to know this. So if you are not skilled in how to approach the Word of God and wield the Word of God when there is an assault, your enemy will not play well with you. And that's why we have prayer meetings. A lot of times we need to pray for people because they don't know how to deal with the situation. Spiritually. Naturally, Remember this, you can only go so far. You can't go to a doctor and say, excuse me, I would like the miracle cure for this. And they'll say, I'm sorry, there is none. We'll do everything we can naturally. Well, we don't have miracles. What did I say that my little bone doctor said when I told him about my miracle and the healing of my shoulder? He goes, you have faith. That's what separates the overcomer from the one that doesn't overcome, is God's faith in them. It's not your own faith. It's not your human faith that overcomes your adversary. It is God's faith, who has already overcome and was already more powerful than him. But he showed himself through a man, Jesus, through the apostles, through everyday people. He's still showing himself through people. The first thing he said was, be strong. I want you to really think about it. I was really thinking about these words. I want you to ponder these things when you go home. Be strong. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul is not talking to your natural man. Some of you know naturally you're weak. Right? You know. You can't pick up some certain things that maybe a man's like, no big deal for him. He's not asking you this. He's telling you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. To be strong. And he's talking to you to build your spirit man. Every word in here is spiritual. It's spiritual food for your spiritual man. You know what I did when I needed help recently? I took in, as I tell people, heavy doses of God and his word and his power. And heavy doses and heavy doses and heavy doses. And you know, I didn't see the natural manifest first. The spirit man rose first. The spirit man on the inside of me was strong. It wasn't the natural Lisa. It was my spirit that stood up first. And then I would feel power going through my hand. I mean, naturally, yeah, I was doing some natural things, but as I would build my spirit man, I would feel spiritual, or I should say sense, because it really is another realm. But I could tell spiritual power. It wasn't natural. It was spiritually. The Spirit of God was feeding every area that had been damaged and bringing life back and life back. And life back in other areas of my body. I'll tell you, when you take in large amounts of God, you're going to be affected in areas you didn't even realize that you needed to be affected in. Areas that maybe you'd kind of gotten sloppy in, or just maybe were never really strong in that area, and suddenly the whole person. This is why it's so important to feed your spirit every single day. Every single day. How many of you know what happens to you when you don't eat? Yeah, he's been dealing with a father. Didn't eat. It wasn't looking pretty on the natural. And when we don't eat naturally, guess what starts moving in? Death. Naturally. When you don't start eating spiritually, guess what starts moving in? Spiritual death to your spirit man. That maybe was on top of it before, was able to wield things and deal with things. And now it's like, wow, I'm praying, but I'm just not as effective as I was. Or maybe you're just thinking, I want to be more effective than I've ever been. You You don't know what you need to eat every day without the Holy Spirit revealing to you. Our natural man may be bent to liking certain things, but if you let that bent lead you, you will never be fully equipped, because there's certain areas spiritually that you may not have a big interest in that you really need to build. And that's why the Holy Spirit gave me that little sheet to show you. You have to have the well-rounded spiritual life where you grow in all areas. Why? Because your adversary will hit all areas. Why would we want to know about prophecy? Why would we want to know about end times? Because if we don't, we won't be prepared for the day. So you need spiritual food daily, and you need to be trained how to use your spiritual strength. You know, some people can say, well, bless God, you know, I spoke in tongues, so I'm just going to tell the devil where to go. Oh, yeah, really? You've just gotten out of the spirit, and now you're operating off of your natural man, soulish realm, trying to deal with the devil, and he will eat your lunch. This is why a lot of people get afraid, because they haven't been trained. They haven't been equipped. You look at these people that wield these swords or these gladiators. They went through heavy training. In fact, these little gladiators that got freed, their trainer was like, I don't know if I could find anybody like these two. I mean, they were just such amazing people that they really enlisted on the training. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Do you notice that we are responsible to do this? When you put on the whole armor of God, that means you are daily immersing yourself in the things of God. Daily, daily, daily. And every day is going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the advantage of having spiritual leaders is they can also pray for you and help guide you along the way, but you still have to be talking to the Lord, because you and you alone have to hear the call for your life. You and you alone, if you get a dream, you need to learn how to discern that dream. So be willing to work at your spiritual growth daily. Not just ministering to somebody else, but your strength. If he said be strong in the Lord, how many of you want to be strong every single day? Every single day. And sometimes we put out, just like I told people, I had been putting out, and the Lord said, come August, September, it's me. It's me, Lisa. Immerse yourself with where I'm taking you. Immerse yourself. Take in a lot for you to get yourself built for the new. So take the whole armor of God. So the armor of God is what causes your spirit man to stand up to your adversary and fight the adversary that has come to either kill, steal, or destroy. Then he said, stand in Ephesians 6. What do you do when you stand? I want everybody to just stand up for a minute. Now, if Jesus appeared right now and said, okay, Sarah, I need you to go do this. Mike, I need you to go do this. Irene, I need you to go do this. I need you to go do this. I need you to go do this. And it was something that you had never thought about and didn't think you could do, then you might start shaking, right? So when he said stand, that meant no wavering. No wavering at all. No getting, that means you're not built up enough. And you can be built up more. And I tell people, I love this when Miriam did that message that had within the series, Jumping on a Light Beam. When you are meditating on the Word of God, you'll start traveling at the speed of God. If you jump onto a natural way, it's going to take you a lot longer. And you will never build your spirit man jumping on a natural way. Okay, you can sit down. If you feel sick and you moan, "I'm sick," you have not taken a stand. I want you to listen. If the Lord's telling you to do something, you say, "Oh, I'm so afraid," you've not taken a stand. You hear what he's saying about taking a stand? If the Lord's told you to do something, and fear's trying to get you to, "Oh, I don't know, what if I don't have a job," or what, you haven't taken a stand. How many of you know what it means to take a stand? I'm sure everybody's had some situation where something tried to get you to back off and you had to take a stand. Because if the enemy's MO is to steal, kill, and destroy, we have to stand up to him that we choose life. Because he'll start to gain ground. He'll start with little things. He can start with a toe ache and try to end with something big, but it's because the person either didn't know or they didn't take a stand. He said, "Have your loins girt about with truth." How many of you know that they wore the long clothes? And the loins was the cloth here, and they would have to pick it up so they could run. But it's also covered the reproductive organs. So everything, if you want to produce for God, everything you stand on has to be truth. Not what man says. And you don't need to be talking to natural people that you're dealing with on a natural issue and start throwing scriptures at them. Let the natural be the natural. I didn't get in this doctor's face and say, "Well, this and this and this and this and this." I said, "Just give me some wisdom in how the body works naturally on how far I can go." He goes, "Oh, okay, you know... you can start playing." I said, "I've already been playing. Just not with this finger because you told me not to use this one." "But I've already been playing." "Why?" "The Holy Spirit said it was okay. And he didn't said it was no problem as long as I didn't move this one." So the Holy Spirit was working with me too to get my faith going. Why? Because he knows what happens naturally to the body when you don't use it. You know, our body was made to be moving, right? Your faith was given to you by God to move, to use. Not to just, "No, I don't want to deal with that." So the truth of God is the promises of God. Every promise that he has in there for you. Every promise. That's the truth. There may be facts you're dealing with that aren't the truth. But the Roman soldier, on his belt of truth, hung the sword. So any wielding that we do with the sword of the Spirit has to be based on the truth. You'll fight and win any war that you have the call into by God, if What you're wielding is the truth. And that's why some people, when they deal with natural things, and they go, well, yeah, but this is what this person said. Is it the truth? But this person's loved one, they're not saved. Is that the truth? What's the truth? See, the truth, there's lots of truth in the Word of God that a soldier in Christ has to understand and get knowledge of. It is His will all men be saved. That's what my sword wields, is the truth. But not everybody will be saved. That's not the sword I'm wielding. He didn't ask me to wield that. He said to pray for all men, that they would come to a saving knowledge of truth. So remember that before you wield your tongue to say anything about yourself or anyone else, is it better be based on the truth? Having the breastplate of righteousness. That beautiful breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate cover? On the soldier, it covered from the shoulders down to the stomach, in the front and in the back. That means that your spiritual armor protects even being stabbed in the back. That means those things you're not even aware are going on behind your back. Somebody's doing something, saying something behind your back. Our heart is what chooses the way. Righteousness is nothing more than doing things the right way. Handling situations God's way. Love your enemies. That's handling things God's way. Pray for those who abuse you and persecute you. That's the right way. That will keep your heart secure. Forgive. Forgive others, but forgive yourself. I tell you, I think a lot of diseases would leave people's bodies in an instant if they would forgive themselves. Did you know I had to forgive myself immediately after what happened? Immediately I had to forgive myself. Because I was like, man, I know I was a little tired and I couldn't catch myself. So I had to let it go. You have to let yourself go. Just as you would let anybody else go. Righteousness. There's no shortcuts with the warrior. Being strong, there's no shortcuts. It's always God's way. What's the way, Lord? Just show me the way I need to deal with this. What do I need to meditate on? Oh, but I have so many things I need to do here. Oh, okay. You know what I really need. It says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet is symbolic of a firm foundation. Isn't the feet what holds you up? So we need to have a firm foundation of truth in us. And our feet only allowed to go where He leads us. And even not only where He leads us, but the way He leads us to deal with a situation. You know, the natural man might say, bless God, I'm going to deal with this. And the Spirit says, this is the way I want you to deal with it. Oh, okay. That's not the way I would have dealt with it. Because he knows all. He knows what will turn the course of the war that's really in the realm of the spirit. all wars. If your eyes were opened into the realm of the spirit, you would see who's harassing those around you. Let me tell you, start desiring the gifts of the spirit. Start desiring the discerning of spirits. It's not just evil spirits. You start desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God will show you somebody's spirit. He'll show you your own spirit. He'll show you angelic spirits. He'll show you demons. He'll show everything that you need to know so that you can respond correctly and realize, oh, okay, I was taking that personally. And there's a spirit line to that person in their ear. Okay. I get it. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not really dealing with a person. I'm dealing with their adversary. Remember, everybody has an adversary. Above all, it says in Ephesians, above all, take the shield of faith. Okay, pretend that's my shield. Take the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Gladiators, when they fought, with one hand, just pretend this is my shield, with one hand they use their shield to deflect, with the other hand they use their sword. This is defensive, this is offensive. And I thought it was so interesting because the sword with the gladiator, which is what Paul was talking about during those days, it was sharp on both sides. And there's so much revelation just in that, that it was sharp on both sides. That means if the person was coming at you one way, you didn't have to turn your sword, you just had to have it go the other way. The Word of God can handle any situation. Let me tell you, your adversary can come to you and say, but you did this. Right? He's trying to get you with a fiery dart. Yeah, but you did this and you knew you did this. And the Bible says, agree with your adversary. You're right, but God has forgiven me. There you go. You start wielding your sword. The other thing about the sword was it was short. And the gladiators would get into close proximity. Stand up. Come here. Come here. I'm going to let you come here for a second. My little friend. No. And the gladiators would get close to their enemy and thrust the sword into them, which always brought a deadly blow. Now, how does that relate to us spiritually? God is giving us a natural illustration to understand a spiritual truth. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, a lot of people go, yeah, but I quoted all these scriptures. Okay, and you can sit down. I quoted all these scriptures and they didn't work. You weren't wielding the Rhema. You were wielding the Logos. What do I mean? The Word of God, all the passages in here, is the Logos. It's the whole counsel of God. But the only way this weapon, the sword of the Spirit, works and will work for you is if it is a specific word the Holy Spirit gives you for the situation. That's why you've got to seek the Lord on every matter. What's the way, Lord? It may have nothing to do, and it's not just quoting a scripture either. It's understanding what you're saying. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. It was the Rhema of God that brought you into the kingdom. What was it? Was it just a passage of scripture? it was a revelation from the Holy Spirit that brought you in of truth. And it's the same when you're dealing in spiritual warfare. It's not screaming, though there may be times that you're bold. It's all the leading of the Holy Spirit. There were times Jesus did not utter one word. There's other times he said, "You're of your father, the devil." So some people say, "Oh, okay, that's the way he talked to those people, so that's the way I'm going to talk." No, what if he's not telling you? How do you know when it's the rhema? He reveals to you. You know because you've developed hearing the voice of God. And you know he's telling you. But I don't hear. Well, guess what? You're defeating yourself. You're not wielding that you do know. That's part of how you build your spirit, man, is that I do hear the voice of God. I do. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice on this matter. And you know what? I know everyone here probably has one matter they need the sword of the Spirit for. They need revelation from the Holy Spirit to deal with this situation. They need it revealed. And that's where you have to seek Him with your whole heart. Lord, I admit, I need your help. And last, the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet of salvation? It's not a hat on your head. It actually means head. And it doesn't mean your intellect. What's the helmet of salvation? It's the hope of your eternal salvation. That's what's going to keep your mind sound. It's not just here. It doesn't matter if your adversary is threatening to kill you. You have an eternal hope, and that's what's going to keep your head sound. Paul said, what? I'm in a strait betwixt two, rather willing to go or willing to stay. And then he said later on, now I'm ready to be offered up. He was waiting on the Lord. Are you done with me? You know what, Lord? I discern these people still need. You're showing me these people still need me. So, okay, I'm going to stay here. Later on, he tells Timothy, I finished my course. I'm done. Okay. I'm going to go. And he was beheaded. How did he handle that? I'm sure he probably left before the thing hit his neck. I'll just step out right now. He had already been killed 5 times and risen from the dead. He was getting good at it, I guess. How to come in and out of the body. I encourage you to look at some of these gladiator movies. Look at how they were trained. Look at how they handled themselves. And remember, you can't be passive. It was only the thrusting of the Romans. The Romans didn't just poke. They literally thrust. So when God is speaking to you to pray a certain prayer, don't be sheepish, so to speak. Allow him to give you his boldness. Jesus was so different. People said he was different. The way he talked was different because he talked as someone with great authority. When the Holy Spirit gives you a word to deal with a situation, he's not just giving you a passage of scripture. He's giving you authority. So out of your mouth should not just come a scripture verse, it should come authority. Because you're letting him speak into the situation. It's Christ in you that's now wielding that sword. But you're working with him. You're cooperating with him. You're letting him use your mouth. right? Praise the Lord. I think I'll end here. Father, I thank you for the truth that sets us free. The truth that undergirds us. I thank you for those that are here that may be even trembling on the inside because they've never known your strength and your power. I thank you for teaching them your way as you've taught us. That the older ones that are more equipped will help the younger ones to walk the way you walked, to recover the way you recover a person in their spirit first. I thank you that in the days ahead, we choose life. We choose life for our families. We choose life for every circumstance that we will have to walk through. We choose life as we prepare to go to Israel. We choose life for the Israeli people. Eternal life, that they may come to a saving knowledge of life. We choose life for our nation. We choose life thoughts for our president. Life thoughts for our Congress. We choose life for the citizens of this nation. We choose eternal life for the souls of men and women around the world. And we thank you for the sendings of the people that will even come from this ministry all over the world. The people that we will undergird in prayer for your works all over the world. I thank you for strengthening your people today with your power and your might. I want you to stand up and put your hand over your heart. I thank you for strengthening your people with your power and your might in their inner man. The very core of their being. And I thank you that you are the teacher and that you teach them in the way. As they go home, each one of us, Lord, I thank you that you begin this new course that you have for each person to come into the full maturity for the work that you have for them in the days ahead. I thank you that they will be refreshed, empowered, healed, delivered. That they'll be strong, Lord, in their forgiveness towards themselves and others. They'll be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. That they'll always overcome. That you'll grant them wisdom, Lord, where wisdom is needed in situations. That those that are looking for your hand on the work you have for them, even in the workplace, that you show them and you go before them and you prepare the way. You prepare the way in their hearts, and you prepare the way in those they will work with. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that we get stronger and stronger in you. That you, and you alone, are Lord of our lives. You are the master at dealing with our adversary. Jesus, you are the master. And we humble ourselves before you and we allow you to help us master our adversary and master others' adversaries who need our intercession. We thank you, Jesus. We say yes and we trust you. We choose life. I want you to just say that to yourself, however it needs to come out of you, that you choose life.
I choose life.
You choose life for yourself, the abundant life. That doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight. But it means that whatever you have to walk through, you will have life come out of it. I thank you for this, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for revealing, Lord, the things that need to be revealed to the people. Any hindrances? That you show them, you help them, you soften their hearts, Lord. These are your people, and you love them. And I thank you, as you've been honest with me, I thank you for your honesty with them. Thank you. I praise you for this, Lord. You're so good. I thank you that your mercy endures. Father, I thank you for helping Rich with Julius. He understands being a soldier. I thank you for restoring him in his understanding that you fight for him, Jesus. And you paid a hefty price so that he could be in peace till he steps out of his body. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Thank you for godly wisdom and counsel upon Rich. Godly wisdom and counsel upon Patty as she speaks to her uncle and her aunt. Godly wisdom and counsel upon every one of us that go into every situation of life. For those that are going to Israel, Father, I thank you that they step into your shoes of humility as you walk that nation through us, as you speak to those that we will speak with. And I thank you that you go before us and you will go behind us and you will stand beside us. And you will anoint our eyes, our lips, our words, our heart, and our actions towards the Israeli people and the Arabs of that nation. And everyone that you foreordained that we meet with. We praise you, Jesus. We give you all of the glory, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.